Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. The first order of business is the letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the state of Louisiana, from the Advocate Official Journal for the state of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 41417 through 41479 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30, the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest, we have on track number 41427, we received a letter of protest from Williams Incorporated, Williams Land Company, LLC, dated April 12, 2010. On track numbers 41438, 41439, 41440, 41441, 41442, 41447, 41448, 41449, 41450, from Miami Corporation, dated April 23, 2010. The staff has reviewed these letters of protest and the tracts. There are claimable water bottoms within the boundaries of the tract, and they will stay up for lease. Notification of tracts to be recommended for withdrawal. On tract number 41478 will be recommended to be withdrawn by the staff and will be taken up at the nomination and tract committee meeting. If there are any bids received on this tract, they will be returned unopened at the conclusion of today's board meeting. And we will proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. We received one bid on track 41417. Advertised as 620 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 530.80 acres. The bidder is EPL of Louisiana, LLC. EPL of Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a five-year primary term with a cash payment of $186,310.80. $186,310.80. Or a per acre value of $351. Annual rentals are $93,155.40. $93,155.40. Royalties are 22%. We received one bid on track 41418, advertised as 1,102 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 153.46 acres. The bidder is EPL of Louisiana, LLC. EPL of Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a five-year primary term with a cash payment of $53,864.46. $53,864.46. Or a per acre value of $351. Annual rentals are $26,932.23. $26,932.23. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracts: 41419, 41420, or 41421. We did receive one bid on track 41422. advertised as 131 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $264,227. $264,227, or a per acre value of $2,017. Annual rentals are $132,113.50. $132,113.50. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41423, advertised as 143 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 56 acres. The bidder is Robert A. Schroeder, Inc. Robert A. Schroeder, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $14,280. $14,280, or a per acre value of $255. Annual rentals are $7,140. $7,140. Royalties are 23%. The second bid on track 41423 is for a portion containing 87 acres. The bidder is Robert A. Schroeder, Inc. Robert A. Schroeder, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $22,185. $22,185, or a per acre value of $255. Annual rentals are $11,092.50. $11,092.50. Royalties are 24%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks: 41424, 25, 26, or 27. We did receive one bid on track 41428, advertised as 1,451.47 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 762.56 acres. The bidder is Suncoast Land Services, Inc. Suncoast Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $272,996.48. $272,996.48, or a per acre value of $358. Annual rentals are $136,498.24. $136,498.24. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41429, advertised as 766.01 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is South Louisiana Minerals, Inc. South Louisiana Minerals, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $260,443.40. $260,443.40, or a per acre value of $340. Annual rentals are $130,221 and 70 cents. $130,221 and 70 cents. Royalties are 23%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks: 41430, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, or 41136. We did receive one bid on track 41437, advertised as 111 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 2.086 acres. The bidder is Energy 21 Onshore LLC. Energy 21 Onshore LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,000. $1,000, or a per acre value of $479.39. Annual rentals are $500. $500. Royalties are 25%. As additional consideration, the attention of the board is respectfully requested to the fact that Energy 21 Onshore LLC is the present owner and holder of several oil, gas, and mineral leases adjacent to the lands described in this tract number 41437, and as such, Energy 21 Onshore LLC would be in the best position to develop the mineral interest of the state of Louisiana in tract number 41437. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks: 41438, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, or 41444. We did receive one bid on track 41445, advertised as 888.33 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 600 acres. The bidder is Hillcor Energy 1 LP by Hillcor Energy Company, its general partner. Hillcor Energy 1 LP by Hillcor Energy Company, its general partner. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $165,000. $165,000, or a per acre value of $275. Annual rentals are $82,500. $82,500. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks: 41446, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, or 41453. We did receive two bids on track 41454, advertised as 2,182.41 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 296.84 acres. The bidder is Pride Oil and Gas Properties, Inc. Pride Oil and Gas Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $82,224.68. $82,224.68, or a per acre value of $277. Annual rentals are $41,112.34. $41,112.34. Royalties are 21%. The second bid on track 41454 is for a portion containing 296.84 acres. The bidder is Pride Oil and Gas Properties, Inc. Pride Oil and Gas Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $120,813.88. $120,813.88, or a per acre value of $407. Annual rentals are $60,406.94. $60,406.94. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on track 41455 or 41456. We did receive one bid on track 41457, advertised as 562 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 127.77 acres. The bidder is EPL of Louisiana, LLC. EPL of Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $44,847.27. $44,847.27, or a per acre value of $351. Annual rentals are $22,423.64. $22,423.64. Royalties are 22%. We received one bid on track 41458, advertised as 9.448 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Encana Oil and Gas USA, Inc. Encana Oil and Gas USA, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $48,723.34. $48,723.34, or a per acre value of $5,157. Annual rentals are $24,361.67. $24,361.67. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks: 41459, 41460, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, and 41469. We did receive one bid on track 41470, advertised as 26 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is BP America Production Company. BP America Production Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $13,052. $13,052, or a per acre value of $502. Annual rentals are $6,526. $6,526. Royalties are 25.25%. We received one bid on track 41471, advertised as 3.97 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Apache Corporation. Okay. Representing 50% Castec Energy Partners LP by Castec Energy 2 LLC General Partner 25%, and Energy 21 Onshore LLC 25%. Apache Corporation 50%, Castec Energy Partners LP by Castec Energy 2 LLC 25%, and Energy 21 Onshore LLC 25%. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $11,921.91. $11,921.91, or a per acre value of $3,003. Annual rentals are $5,960.96. $5,960.96. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41472, advertised as 2,500 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 168.80 acres. The bidder is Walter Oil and Gas Corporation. Walter Oil and Gas Corporation. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $68,701.60. $68,701.60, or a per acre value of $407. Annual rentals are $34,350.80. $34,350.80. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41473, advertised as 1,955 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 579.20 acres. The bidder is Walter Oil and Gas Corporation. Walter Oil and Gas Corporation. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $294,233.60. $294,233.60, or a per acre value of $508. Annual rentals are $147,116.80. $147,116.80. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks: 41474, 7576, or 41477. Track 41478 is recommended to be withdrawn. We received one bid on track 41479, advertised as 79.93 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Gardner Oil and Gas, LLC. Gardner Oil and Gas, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $16,145.86. $16,145.86, or a per acre value of $202. Annual rentals are $8,072.93. $8,072.93. Royalties are 23%. That will complete the opening and the reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We will adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. The committee meeting should begin about 9:30.
Thank you, Mimi.
Okay, Darrell, you want to lead us off with the lease review committee?
I hereby convene the lease review committee meeting. Mr. Dugas, would you please present the agenda?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
According to Sunrise, there are 1,795 active state leases covering approximately 848,000 acres. The Geological and Engineering Division has reviewed this month 155 leases covering nearly 84,000 acres. We have four leases to discuss in detail. First lease is State Lease 335B, Delta Duck Club, Texas Petroleum Investment Company is the lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on October the 14th, 2009. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept DPIC's report and grant them until April 14, 2010 to submit a progress report on the status of the 3D purchase and any other activities affecting this lease. By letter dated April 12, 2010, DPIC reported oil production has increased since they bought the property from 90 barrels of oil per day to 300 barrels of oil per day through recompletions and well repairs. DPIC has purchased 75 square miles of 3D data and are hoping to have the geological geophysical assessment completed by the first quarter of 2011. Staff would recommend that DPIC is to submit by April 13, 2011 a definite plan of development affecting the non-productive acreage on this lease. State Lease 340H, Cote Blanche Island Fields, Swift Energy Operating is the lessee. Committee last reviewed this lease on October the 14th, 2009. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept the proposed partial release of 265 acres and granted Swift until April the 14th, 2010 to submit a plan of development for the non-productive portion of this lease. Swift has yet to send in a report. I think Jason is not here today, but I think he talked to them. But they didn't have anything far, so we're recommending that Swift Energy meet with the staff prior to August 11, 2010 to present a definite plan of development affecting the non-producing state lease acreage on State Lease 340H, Cote Blanche Island Field. State Lease 1337, Bateman Lake Field. Sylvan Energy and Environmental is the lessee. I guess y'all remember this belonged to VTEX for a while, and then Echo, and then it went to Louisiana Energy Environmental. Now it's been turned over to Sylvan Energy. The lease was last reviewed by the committee on October the 14th, 09. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept the 1,000-acre partial release proposed by the former lessee, LENE Environmental, and to grant them until April 14, 2010 to submit a plan of development for the non-productive acreage on this lease. The actual partial release came to about 800 acres, but that's about all they could get out of it. So I guess we can accept, we did accept it when offered, and if the board can approve that, that's fine. Staff recommends that Sylvan Energy meet with the staff prior to August 11, 2010 to present plans of development on the non-productive acreage on this lease. State Lease 2620 Lake Pelto Field, Phoenix Exploration, Louisiana, is the lessee. The committee last viewed this lease on September the 9th of 09. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Phoenix until April 14, 2010 to submit a plan of development for the non-productive acreage on this lease, or in lieu thereof, submit a release of such acreage. By letter of April 13, 2010, Phoenix submitted a report on their efforts to develop the acreage, but did not submit a specific plan of development. Therefore, the staff recommends that Phoenix meet with the staff prior to August 11, 2010 to present a specific plan of development for the non-productive acreage on this lease. So out of the four leases, we have three lessees coming in to talk to us about the undeveloped acreage.
Mr. Dugas. How many acres are affected or unproductive in 335 and 340? Items 1 and 2.
Oh, Lord.
I'm taking this a lot. There's oh, Lord.
Where's the Sherry? Do you have the... the book...
And another question, while you're looking that up, on these two leases, I'm assuming by the number, these are very old leases?
Oh, yes.
And they're at minimum royalty?
Of 335 is probably an eighth, and 340, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. That's why we concentrate our efforts on these older 1/8 and 1/6 leases.
Of course.
Because they're unusually large to begin with a lot of non-productive acreage. Let's see, 335B Delta Duck has 1,236 acres in it, and we show 502 productive. 340H is a big one. acres in the lease with 2,810 productive.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So for now, you come and sit here.
Any more questions or comments? I need a motion and a second.
I'll second.
I have a motion for Mr. Arnold, a second for Mr. Segura. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting.
I'll move.
Motion from Mr. Segura, second from Mr. Arnold. Lease Review Committee is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Mr. Rivera, are you up?
Yes. I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee.
Morning, Mr. Cordero.
Good morning, Mr. Hotner.
Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 63 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the lands are located for today's lease sale. We received several letters of protest. One was from Miami Corporation dated April 23, 2010, pertaining to tracts number 41438-3940-41424748-4950, situated in St. Mary Parish. The letter claims by Miami Corporation that it is an owner in part of the lands located within the aforementioned tracts. We also received letters of protest from Williams Inc. and a letter of protest from Williams Land Company LLC, also dated April 12, 2010, pertaining to track 41427, situated in Assumption Parish. The letters claim that Williams is a private owner within said tracts advertised, They also state that there are no state-owned lands or lands now or formerly constituting the beds or bottoms of water bodies located on or within said tracts. The staff reviewed the most recent state land water bottoms layer and recognizes that the aforementioned tracts contain both claimable water bottoms and private lands within. Therefore, tracts 41438, 3940, 4142, 4748, 4950, and 41427 were advertised correctly and are to be left up for today's lease sale. We have a request to withdraw tract 41478, situated in Section 35, Township 16 North, Range 10 West, Bienville Parish, Louisiana. This is a tax-adjudicated land and was redeemed from the state, and as a result, the state does not own the minerals. The staff recommends that tract 41478 be withdrawn.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept the staff's recommendation. Motion by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes.
And the final item, 29 nominations were received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the July 14, 2010 lease sale, and they're pending approval by the board for advertising. It's the staff's recommendation that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received in the office for the July 14, 2010 lease sale.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept the staff's recommendation. Motion by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Smith. All in favor? All opposed? Motion passes. And finally, I need a motion to adjourn to the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee. Motion by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Smith. The Tract Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee is adjourned.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to go ahead and call the Audit Committee meeting to order and hear from Ms. Newman, the staff's report. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. The first item on the audit agenda is a penalty waiver request from Castex Energy, Inc. for a penalty in the amount of $47,620.41 on the late payment of royalty. On January 27, 2010, Castex paid the state a total of $212,223.87 in late royalty for disposition dates of May 2007 through November 2009. Royalty was outstanding for less than 3 years and was not related to a field audit. Castex was late due to a volume reallocation received by the operator of the commingling facility through which their well flows. Castex was billed and paid $21,321.16 in interest. In accordance with the penalty waiver protocol, staff is recommending a 75% waiver because royalty was outstanding less than 3 years. The amount of the reduction would be $35,715.31, with a balance of $11,905.10 owed the state.
You've heard staff's recommendation and review. We have a motion to approve, please.
Can I ask
or discussion?
Sure.
Yeah. That's 75% on which amount? That's 40.
It's 75% on the 47,000, yes.
I move for approval.
It's been moved by Mr. Segura, second by Mrs. Smith. Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item two, please.
The second item is a penalty waiver request from L-Log Exploration Company, LLC, for a penalty in the amount of $33,709.02 for the late payment of royalty. On September 25, 2008, LLOG paid the state a total of $249,767.46 in late royalty for the disposition dates of April 2007 through July 2008. Royalty was outstanding for less than 2 years and was not related to a field audit. LLOG was late due to adjustments as a result of a conflict between the commingling agreement and the lease. LLOG was billed and paid $15,644.25 in interest. In accordance with the penalty waiver protocol, we are recommending a 75% waiver because royalty was outstanding less than 2 years. The amount of the reduction would be $25,281.77 with a balance of $8,427.25 owed the state.
You've heard staff's report and recommendations. You have a motion to approve, please.
I'll make a motion.
Move by Mr. Cordero. Second by Mrs. Smith. Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you. Item 3.
Item 3 is a penalty waiver request from McMoran Oil and Gas for a penalty in the amount of $22,951.53 for the late payment of royalty. On January 26, 2010, McMoran paid the state a total of $95,333.75 in late royalty for disposition dates of July 2007 through August 2009. Royalty was outstanding less than 3 years and was not related to a field audit. McMoran was late due to late submittal of third-party allocations. McMoran has paid the state a total of $9,400.32 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, we are recommending a 75% waiver because royalty was outstanding for less than 3 years. The amount of the reduction would be $17,213.65 with a balance of $5,737.88 owed the state.
You have heard staff's recommendation and report. You have a motion to accept, please. Moved by Mr. Morton. Second by Mr. Cordero. Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none. The motion carries. Thank you. Item 4, please.
Item 4 is a penalty waiver request from Meritech Resources Incorporated for a penalty in the amount of $121,504.88 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit began on March 31, 2008 for the period of January 2006 through December 2006. Total royalty collected for the audit period was $6,596,364.50. This was not the first audit of Meritech. They were very cooperative with accommodations and scheduling. There was no difficulty obtaining records, and staff had ready access to key personnel. Audit principal and interest was not paid timely, but Meritech has implemented some corrective measures. Meritech Resources paid the state a total of $577,430.80 in royalty exceptions and $72,765.51 in interest. Staff is recommending a 50% penalty waiver of $60,752.44 with a balance due of $60,752.44.
You've heard staff's report recommendation. Motion in favor. Moved by Mr. Morton. Second by Mr. Cordero. Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 5, please.
The last item on the audit agenda is a staff report to the committee that the election for May 2010 gas is to be paid on a process basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the C. Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, Rachel. Need no further business on the agenda. I'd like a motion to adjourn, please. Move by Mr. Gore. Second by Mr. Morton. Anyone opposed? Hearing none, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
All right, this time we'll call the Legal and Title Controversy Committee to order.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have an interesting melange here for you this morning.
Okay.
Item number one is a request by primarily Dynamic Offshore Resources, LLC, plus a number of other companies that were entities which Summit Energy sold an interest in these leases. This is for late release of State Lease 19-148, 19-151, 19-153, 19-184, in the amount of $5,600 each, which means the leases were released 56 days late. This is not the first appearance before the board or request by a number of these companies. However, for Dynamic Offshore Resources, it is a first offense or first appearance. The fault lies, I understand, with Dynamic. Being, what happened is they circulated the release for signatures among these other companies late. I just found that out today. So they, and it being their first time, but not the first time for the other companies, there is, I'm not sure how to apply the objective criteria. The objective criteria would not reduce the amount of the liquidated damage at all, because all of the bonuses on these leases were greater than the liquidated damage assessment. Also, it's the full acreage that's being released, so it's a subjective question that's left to the board. There is a representative here for Dynamic Offshore Resources. If you'd like to ask questions.
What's your recommendation, Rick?
Well, I make recommendations on the objective criteria, and since there are no objective criteria reductions, it's a subjective matter. And again, this is a first infraction for Dynamic Offshore Resources, but not the other companies. And the fault for the late release, I understand, lies with Dynamic Offshore that was just late in circulating the document.
Rick, if we did not have these other folks involved and the objective criteria was applied, would it then be a full waiver?
Then the recommendation would have been a full waiver.
Make a motion with full waiver.
All right.
You want to hear it?
We have a...
Did you want to hear the explanation?
Yeah, I mean...
No. I think it's pretty...
If the recommendation is going to be for a full waiver...
A full waiver based on being a first-time offense.
Right.
I think it was second by Mr. Ingram as well.
Okay, so we have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Ingram. Any further discussion or questions?
Just tell them I did a good job.
Okay. How many hours do you want us to say you were here for?
You have the right to remain silent.
I will remain silent.
But don't leave yet, Rick. Rick, you're on the next one, too.
That was $200 right there.
Okay, he'll be back.
Okay.
He represents the next one.
All right. So any further questions or discussion? If not, all in favor? All opposed, that motion carries. All right, item two.
Okay. Item two is a request by Anadarko Petroleum Corporation for a waiver of all reports of liquidated damages assessment for a late release of state leases 18, 789, 790, 843, and 435. The damage amounts were, wait a minute. They were not all assessed on the same date, so we're treating them as three different appearances before the board. State leases 18789 and 18790 were both 139 days late. They were billed. Let me get it. Billed or invoiced July 21st, 2009. There was, from the staff geologist, we find that the area in which these leases existed was not an area that was greatly under leasing activity at the time that the late release would have been or should have been done. So, but there's an explanation that was given in the letter, which you should have received, by Anadarko on the first two. I don't see an explanation, but in any case, there's a representative of Anadarko here to answer on those first two. This is regarding state lease 18789 and 790.
All right, I get to talk or have to talk on this one. Well, look, first let me say,
we identify yourself just for the record.
Rick Revels with Lisco and Lewis. Okay. And I am here today for Anadarko Petroleum. And unfortunately, I'm kind of an apologist, not only for Anadarko, but for predecessor companies. You'll see we have three different instances to talk to you about today. And Anadarko is a fairly large company, acquiring company. They acquired Kerr McGee. They acquired Union Pacific Resources, HS Resources, etc. And some of the problems are with predecessors and getting the leasehold ownership properly integrated into Anadarko's system. In this one, 18789 and 790, these are 2005 leases of October Anadarko, unfortunately, did get a direct assignment as to these leases, unlike the other two I'll talk about. Soon thereafter, though, they assigned the lease to Sampson Contour. This is up south of Monroe in the Riverton area. Maybe you're aware of Coal Seam Natural Gas Development. When the, you know, the gas market prices really dropped, so did this activity up there. All of the leases, 100% of the acreage, was assigned to Sampson, and Sampson timely released these. Unfortunately for Anadarko, it had only assigned Sampson shallow rights, which were sufficient to cover the Coal Seam Natural Gas prospect. It had intended to convey the remaining depths to XTO, but then through the course of the divestiture negotiations, the boundaries changed. And so for whatever reason, Sampson releases, does not contact Anadarko, and so the staff properly calculated the, you know, the penalties, each at $13,900. Upon notice from Office of Mineral Resources, Anadarko promptly released. What I'm going to talk to you, and I'll try to be brief so I don't have to say the same thing in all three, but they had several infractions, and I'm here today for three of them. And partly why I'm here is that they did a kind of a full-blown audit. The legal department got involved, was quite upset that their record had been substandard, both in their eyes and of course, in your eyes. So they have tried to look at what the state says that Anadarko owns. They've gone back to try to match up their records with what's shown on Sunrise, on your records. They've taken steps to try to remedy that and to get their assignees to come forward with the assignments that are out there. So first and foremost, I want to apologize for their prior failures, and I've been instructed to pledge on their behalf a significantly improved performance going forward.
All right.
Okay. Again, on those particular leases, there were four prior infractions. It says six, but in actuality, one and two were considered one, and five and six were considered one. So you actually have four prior infractions by Anadarko for late release. Excuse me. In this particular instance, on these particular leases, again, the explanation was that the assignment to Sampson Contour was to a particular depth, and then the other interests were to be assigned to XTO, but the assignment to XTO never came about, and so it left Anadarko with the remaining depths of those two leases. When Sampson Contour released their interest because they were no longer producing to hold the lease, apparently they failed to notify Anadarko, which again had the remaining depths. And then when the state notified Anadarko, they timely released it. Sampson released it timely, their portion. So that's the explanation why these two leases were released late.
Just the first two is what you're talking
about. Right, the first two. That's 18,789, 18,790, $13,900 each. And again, there is no objective criteria reduction of these two leases.
All right. Do we have any discussion from the board or a motion?
And being a fourth time offense, there would be no criteria as well. Rick?
Excuse me?
Being as a fourth time offense, there would be no.
On those two, you can go ahead and make a recommendation right now on those two leases. As far as the staff is concerned, because there are four prior appearances before the board for requests for, we could not recommend a full waiver. We could recommend a reduction again because this was only a portion depth. It was the entire acreage, but it was only a particular depth. As to the amount of the reduction, I'll have to leave that with the board, simply because the bonuses of these two leases were fairly significant.
I'll make a motion for a 50% reduction on the items A and B.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold for a 50% reduction as opposed to a full reduction as requested by Anadarko. We have a motion. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Smith. Any further discussion or questions? If not, all four? All opposed? The motion carries.
Okay. The next lease is 15843. That is for $89,500, which means it was 895 days late. There is an explanation in the letter that you should have received, and it's basically that the interest was, the lease originally is 34.5 acres. Chesapeake assigned its interest to UPR within the unit. Chesapeake released the lease October 14, 1998 as to all portions and debts not previously assigned to UPR. Anadarko inherited the interest of UPR through another company. And Anadarko assigned its interest in the lease and 20 other leases to Merit Energy, but the Merit Energy assignment was never approved. So Anadarko believed that its lease had been assigned to Merit, but since Merit's assignment was never approved by the board, simply because there were some, as I understand it, some mix-ups on the when the unit well went off of production, Merit never notified Anadarko that it was off, and they plugged the well. And then Anadarko didn't know, I guess, for 895 days that the well had been plugged and abandoned and the lease was dead. And when they found out, which was through a notification by the state office, they did do a release immediately, but it was 895 days. Again, explanation for this. You have Rick Rebels here.
All right. Let me just add a couple of things to what Mr. Heck has said. Again, as in the first case, you got a full timely release as to all acreage and depths other than the Austin Chalk Formation inside a producing unit. UPR, a predecessor of Anadarko, assigned this lease of record to Merit Energy effective September 1, 2004. So Merit actually operated the producing Austin Chalk well for a couple of years before they plugged it. The problem with the assignment, Merit at least did come forward and submit the assignment for approval, but Merit had a lot of affiliates as assignees, and the Office of Mineral Resources objected to the form of an assignment, and the primary confusion was how to allocate the interest that UPR was assigning to all the various Merit entities. You know, Anadarko / UPR had nothing to do with that. By the time Merit finally corrected the assignment in a way that was satisfactory to the board and Office of Mineral Resources, the assignment was approved as to other leases, but this lease had already expired. So we're hoping in this situation, when we really had nothing to do with it and didn't think we owned it for like 5 years, that some leniency would be granted. In none of these today in the letter, if you look at it, we're not asking to get off without paying some amount. We know that we're at fault, and I've offered to pay on each one of these instances. So I just wanted to correct that for the record.
Yeah, the offer in the letter is for $2,000 for this particular lease.
Oh, I might mention that under your criteria, the maximum I think that would be assessed against us would be about $20,000, which is a bonus of $900 times the 22 acres we got. So it would be limited to the amount of the bonus. Hopefully you'll reduce it under that, but that would be the maximum under your criterion, as I understand it.
What was that amount again?
About 20,000. It's like 22.204 times like $904. It's around a rough figure is 20,000.
That's using objective criteria. Is that?
What he's talking about is the amount of acreage that was assigned to in the unit was 22.204 acres out of the original 34.5 acres of the lease. Okay, so that's a fractional interest rather than the entirety of the lease. But again, the bonus was greater than
the
Yes, right. The bonus was 31,000, and so you could, under the objective criteria, you could reduce it to 31,000. What was it? 31,119.
Well,
if it were a first offense.
Yeah, if it was, to me,
the objective criteria would allow to do that. But again, this is their, at least their fifth offense now, sixth offense. But the consideration of what the explanation was, if you want a staff recommendation, the staff could recommend the lowering it to the $31,119 based on the objective criteria because of the situation where they thought they had sold it to Merit and Merit never notified them. Okay. And then, did you ever make? Anyway, it's 22.2 over 34.5, that fraction multiplied by $31,119. I'm trying to think of what it would, but it would reduce it to about 26, something like that.
About 20,000.
20?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 900 times 22, roughly.
Okay. All right. So the staff could recommend that reduction. Now, based on the additional circumstances that were explained, the subjective criteria, the staff would not object if the board wanted to reduce it further. But we're talking right now $20,000-something.
That's around 75%.
Correct. Correct.
20,000, yeah. Or
22.
22. Around there.
Okay.
Gentlemen, any discussion?
I'm going to make a motion that we levy a fine on 15843 of $10,000, taking everything into account, which is roughly half.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion to reduce the amount to $10,000. Even? $10,000 by Mr. Ingram, second by Mr. Arnold. Any further discussion or questions? All for?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Okay. On the last lease, this is 18,435. This was a late release of 173 days in the amount of $17,300. The explanation in the letter was this was a Kerr McGee assignment of interests to various Edge Petroleum and Fidelity Exploration. Anadarko acquired the problem and the debt in acquiring Kerr McGee. And so, unbeknownst to Kerr McGee, Kerr McGee's assignees never obtained a state mineral board approval for the assignment. They thought, again, they had assigned the interest out, but it was never approved by the board. And Anadarko was, when it was notified by the Office of Mineral Resources, because the lease was still in Anadarko's name, they did execute a timely release, but it was 173 days late. This was, again, a divestiture of the property by Kerr McGee, and then when Anadarko acquired Kerr McGee, Kerr McGee's assignments out of the lease were never approved, and so Kerr McGee retained the interest in the leases, and when Anadarko acquired Kerr McGee, they acquired the lease. And so, again, it's a question of notification. They did not realize that they still owned the lease when they acquired Kerr McGee. They thought it was assigned away. When they were notified that, in fact, they still owned an interest in it or the interest in it, they did timely file a release, but it was 173 days late. The staff in this situation could recommend... there's no reduction in this case. Is there? no reduction in this case based on the objective criteria, because the bonus was in excess of $17,300 and the acreage was the entire amount of the lease. But because of the circumstances, the staff could recommend a reduction. Let's see, what was their offer to pay? This was, they have offered to pay $2,000 on this particular one. Because of the circumstances and Anadarko not being directly responsible for any of the circumstances making this release late, the staff could recommend accepting the $2,000.
Right. Any discussion? Questions? Comments?
The only thing that I would add is this points up a problem which Anadarko has, you know, clearly and painfully learned. You can't just assign and then go about your business without you checking as assignor if right. the assignment is approved. This was never put into Anadarko's lease system because Kerr McGee dropped it once they assigned. They put in place a practice to make sure that the assignments are shepherded all the way through the process, because otherwise the liability is gonna stay with the assigning party, and this points up that problem.
Okay. Thank you.
And also might add that if Kerr McGee did not have it in their system because they assigned it out, when Anadarko took over Kerr McGee, they wouldn't have known about it anyway. Had no way of knowing about it.
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Mr. Arnold makes a motion to accept staff recommendation of a reduction to $2,000. Is that right? I have a second by Mr. Ingram. Any discussion or questions? All in favor? All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item three.
Item number three is a request by All Aboard Development Corporation on its own behalf and on behalf of all of these other companies. Again, a lot of these companies, if not all of them, are also companies involved in the first item number one. And this is for a late release waiver, requesting a waiver of all or a portion of late release for state leases number 19802, 803, 805, if I can get my paper separated, 806, 807, 869, 872, and 809. All were 12 days late, making the late assignment liquidated damage assessment of $1,200 for each lease. We have a representative to represent All Aboard Development. As I understand the circumstances and explained in the letter, a release was being timely prepared, but at the last minute, one of these companies, not All Aboard, assigned a 1% interest to one of the companies that appears here, which they didn't know about. And then when they found out about it, they sent it out to that company to sign at that 1% interest, and they did, but it was 12 days late at that point. So it was a 1% interest, the tail wagging the dog, so to speak. All the release was ready to go timely, except the 1%, which was when they found out that the 1% had been assigned, they went and gave the release to sign to that company, which they did, but 12 days late. So there's no objective criteria reduction on this because the all of these leases had bonuses in excess of the $1,200 liquidated damage, and there were entirety all of the leases that were released. So there's no objective criteria reduction that could be recommended. However, the circumstances, again, subjective, and it's the board's decision at this time, but the staff could recommend reduction based upon that circumstance, since the majority of the company's 99% interest in these leases would have been timely released had it not been for that 1%.
So you recommend a reduction or a complete waiver?
I can recommend a reduction because all of these companies, this is not their first offense. Remember, they have a number of offenses. All Aboard Development Corporation, I think it is. No, it's not a first offense for All Aboard either. There have been 5 prior appearances for late release. But I do recommend, the staff does recommend a reduction of the amount of liquidated damage. And you can do it either by lease or by quantitative. Take all of the leases together. You have.
I mean, they were all the same days late.
All the same date.
All
billed on the same date.
Right,
correct.
The
they
same
were all
amount
at the same time.
Of 1,200 and 120 days late. Right.
Correct.
So 12,
that's
I'm
eight,
sorry.
Eight late releases. Eight leases for release. 8 times 1,200. So that's what $9,600 total.
But it's 12 days late. Correct.
Correct.
Right.
So you could recommend. I mean, the staff would recommend a reduction to a nominal fee since it was a 1%. It's $9,600 total. The staff could recommend it be reduced to $1,500, something like that. Or since it's eight leases, $1,600, $200 each.
How about 9% reduction?
That's fine.
I make a motion for a 9% reduction based on the fact that it was all done and ready to go. When they found that 1% was obviously
okay.
Transferred.
It's a 99%
reduction. 99%
reduction
is fine, too.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to make a motion for a 99% reduction.
Second. Oh, look who did,
sir. All right. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold for a 99% reduction of the $1,200 for each of these leases, 3A through H. Second by Mr. Cordero. Any further discussion, questions? All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, item number four is a request by Manti Exploration Operating LLC to initiate payment of royalty. What they're asking for is to, this is an area where the unit itself has acreage in it, which is claimed by both the state and individuals. The individuals have met with the state, have met with the land office, and are attempting to settle the issue. But what's happening now, Manti wants to operate the well and escrow the funds. The staff in this particular instance does recommend that the board allow Manti to put at interest rather than escrow. We don't do a full escrow agreement, but put at interest that amount of royalty which is attributable to the acreage which is in question, or the title to which is in question, so that they can go ahead and produce the well and get what money they can from the acreage and pay the royalties to the state on acreage which is not in dispute. And the staff does recommend that the board allow Manti to put that portion of the production royalty at interest that's attributable to the tracts which are at issue.
Any discussion? Do we have a motion? We have a motion to accept staff's recommendation by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Morton. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Item five.
Okay, item number five is a request by Petrohawk Properties LP. Again, same kind of a issue. They put it in interest or in the registry of the court, because I think there is a concursus filed here, royalty payments owed to the state of Louisiana for unit track 3 of the HARVSUX All Britain Cattle Company. We're going to have an executive session later on an explanation of these cases. There are a number of them. But to put at interest only that portion of the which is a track 3 of the unit, pending the outcome of a settlement. I think there's a settlement or a concursus. They're trying to settle the issue. But anyway, they want the authority to put on the property that's at issue, the title issue. They want authority to put that at interest without paying the minimum royalty. And so the staff does recommend that because we're trying to work that out.
All right. Any discussion?
Rick, are these interest-bearing accounts or that were?
We demand that they put them on interest-bearing accounts, yes. In the past, they used to just suspend the payment on their books. Now we say put it at interest.
All right. Do I have a motion? Mr. Ingram moves that we accept the staff's recommendation. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Smith. Any further discussion? Questions? All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Item number six.
Item number six is a request for final approval of an operating agreement, MAC Energy. The board had authorized at the last meeting, I think it was, the authority to negotiate the operating agreement with MAC Energy. The negotiations have occurred. There is a satisfactory return to the state from production under this operating agreement. It has been confected, executed, properly advertised, and is on docket as item number 10-19 today for the board's final approval, and the staff does recommend final approval of this operating agreement.
Any discussion or questions? Do I have a motion? Anyone? We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's approval. Accept staff's request.
Make a motion to accept final approval of the operating agreement.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold
Thank
to accept
you.
Final approval of the operating agreement. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Ingram. Any further questions or discussion? If not, all in favor? All opposed? That motion carries.
Before we go to the executive session items, there is an additional item which will be in executive session that the staff requests be added to the agenda. As you know, that when you add something to the agenda, there has to be a two-thirds vote of the board to add it. There has to be any questions from the public on the issue, not a discussion of the case itself. In this case, it's State of Louisiana X-Rail Plaquemine Parish School Board versus Department of Natural Resources, 25th JDC. The staff requests that this be added to the agenda to be held in executive session with the other litigation issues which will be discussed.
We have a recommendation by the staff to add, say it again.
State of Louisiana X-Rail Plaquemine Parish School Board versus Department of Natural Resources, 25th JDC, case number 57-419-A.
Staff's recommending to add that to the agenda. Do you have a motion?
That would be item 11?
Yes.
It would be item 11.
All right. I'll make that motion.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept that. A second by anyone? Mr. Martin? Any discussion? Okay. We need to do a roll call vote. Mr. Martin? Yes? Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Cordero?
Yes.
Mr. Ingram?
Yes.
Mr. Smith? All in favor? Mr. Ingram, do you vote yes to add this item to the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. No, I don't want to vote. I don't vote, do I? Mr. Harper, I'm sorry. Okay. I believe we have a majority.
Well, you have to have two-thirds.
Yeah.
Okay. And also there has to be, as I understand it, an opportunity for the public to comment on the suit. Not a discussion of the issues, but to comment on whether or not to add it to the agenda. Right now, before we add it.
Okay. Does anyone have any public comments concerning this issue?
No. You can add it to the agenda.
All right. It's added to the agenda.
It's item number 11. Okay. Right. The staff then.
Executive session, Ralph?
Correct. Everything from now on, item number
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, executive session?
Right.
Correct.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion to go into executive session by Mr. Arnold. Second by Mr. Martin. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
Good.
So you have your own thought.
Suzanne, do you need this?
No, thank you. You can keep it over there. Yeah, I don't want to be hurt.
You know, I asked that question.
All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of executive session. I have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Ingram. All in favor? All opposed? We are back in executive session. Mr. Heck,
Okay, item number 7, which was a discussion in executive session, requires no action by the board.
Item 8.
Item number 8, the staff does recommend after discussion that the offer of XTO be accepted, subject to the drafting of an acceptable document of compromise and settlement and the execution of the same and proper advertising and bringing before the board for final approval.
I'll make that motion.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold for acceptance of staff's recommendation. A second. Do we have a second by anyone? Mr. Cordero, any discussion, questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item 9.
Item 9, staff requests authority to negotiate with the Plaquemine Parish government regarding this issue, and that's all that's requested is the authority to negotiate.
All right. We have a motion.
Make a motion to grant authority to negotiate.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation to negotiate. Do we have a second? By Mr. Morton. Any further questions or discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item 10.
Item number 10, the staff requests that the board accept the compromise offer of Davis Petroleum Company pending the drafting of an acceptable document, confecting the settlement and compromise, the execution, advertisement of same, and bringing before the board on the docket for final approval.
All right. Do we have a motion for acceptance of staff's recommendation?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Morton. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item 11.
Item number 11, the staff requests authority to seek writs to the Fourth Circuit and above, if necessary, in the suit based upon a judgment by the Plaquemine Parish District Court denying the change of venue.
Okay. Do we have a recommendation to accept staff's recommendation?
So moved.
Or a motion to accept the recommendation. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Morton. Any further discussion or questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
There are no other items on the agenda.
Yeah, thank you.
Move to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn the Legal, Title, and Controversy Committee meeting by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Cordero. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.
Okay, very good. Bay, you want to go ahead and start the committee meeting for the docket?
Move.
Turn your mic on.
Good morning. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the May 12, 2010 Docket Review Committee and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve item number 1. For Category B, state lease transfers, the original recommendation for items 1, 2, and 3 were to defer liquidated damage assessment issues. However, item 1 of the legal and title controversy agenda, the board waived the penalty assessment, so therefore items 1, 2, and 3 are now approved. Please approve item number 4. Item number 5, defer liquidated damage assessment issue. Item 6, defer cannot approve until item number 5 is approved. Please approve items number 7 through 13. Item 14, approved subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. Item 16 through 22, approved. Item 23, approved subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. Please approve item 24. Item 25, approved subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. For Category C, advertised proposals, please approve items 1, 2, and 3. And this completes the staff's recommendations to the Docket Review Committee.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to accept staff's recommendation? Motion from Mr. Smith.
I second.
Second, Mr. Segura. All those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? Motion carries. I have a motion to adjourn the Docket Review Committee. Mr. Arnold, second.
Second.
Mr. Segura, all those in favor? All those opposed? Docket review committee is closed.
Mayor Gibb, we got about 2 minutes or 1 minute until we start the regular board meeting. I bet you were supposed to give us about another 30 seconds. And you flew through it.
All right. At this time, I'd like to bring the regular Mineral and Energy Board meeting to order. Mr. Buett, roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bob Harper.
Here.
Tom Arnold.
Present.
Emil Cordero.
Here.
Juba Diaz. Bay Ingram. Robert Morton, Tom Sanders, Paul Segura,
here.
Dal Smith,
here.
Helen Smith, Garrett Graves. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Item two is the approval of the April 14th, 2010 minutes. Do you have a motion for acceptance of those minutes?
So
moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Morton. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item three, the adoption of the committee recommendations. And unless you all have an objection, we can take them all together. A, the lease review committee. B, nomination track committee. C, audit committee. D, legal and title controversy committee. E, and docket review. Do I have a recommendation to accept those recommendations of those various committees?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold for acceptance of those committee, all of the committee recommendations. Second by Mr. Morton. Any discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item four at this time, the executive session for the technical briefing. Do we have a motion for us to go into executive session so we can have our technical briefing? We have a motion by Mr. Ingram, second by Mr. Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. We'll be in executive session for just a few minutes and we'll return. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of executive session. Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Cordero. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We're back in regular session. Mr. Vaughn?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, on track number 41454, the staff recommends accepting the bid of Pride Oil and Gas Properties Incorporated. The bid was $82,224.68, $277 an acre, and 21%. On the remaining tracks receiving bids, we're recommending that all those bids that they are accepted.
All right. Do we have any questions or discussion?
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation of those bids. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Smith. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. And that goes for the awarding of the leases. Item six, the update on the oil spill.
I'll give that presentation, Mr. Chairman. Wanted to give the board a short update on the oil spill, how it may impact state mineral leases and mineral come derived from those leases. As you all know, the BP Deepwater Horizon accident, which occurred on April 20th, began releasing substantial amounts of oil into the Gulf of Mexico, estimated initially to be 1,000 barrels a day per day. That was quickly revised to around 5,000 barrels per day. There have been a effort to, as the oil comes to the surface, to apply dispersants to the oil, disperse the oil. There has also been some efforts to apply and test the application of dispersants down at the source of the leak to see if they could mitigate the amount of oil reaching the surface that could ultimately impact coastal Louisiana or other coastal states as well. So in addition, there have been other preventative measures employed. There have been controlled burns. There have been substantial skimming operations and booming of Louisiana coast. Louisiana coast, as you know, is it's in a state of crisis. We have unfortunately, we don't have a solid coastline, especially in the areas of St. Bernard and Plaquemine. We have a very broken coastline due to erosion since the levying of the Mississippi River and some other man-made events that has caused a substantial erosion to coastal Louisiana, which has broken that coast and which leaves us very vulnerable to this oil spill. Lots of the impacts are a lot of the most serious impacts from landfall of this oil is impacts to the back marsh areas. It's unfortunately we don't have a strong or a line of beaches and barrier islands that would capture this oil, and then you could scoop it up like scooping up you know, the stuff out of a litter box or whatnot. Here the marsh is so broken it's conducive or provides avenues for it to contaminate critical habitat in Louisiana, which some of the other states fortunately do not experience the same problems that we have. Okay, so with that in mind, the state of Louisiana has also provided a plan that goes above and beyond the booming and preventative strategies that BP and the Coast Guard have provided. We have submitted that plan to this is worked through incident command structure. You have a federal on-scene coordinator, which is the Coast Guard, and you have a series of federal agencies and the like that work under that command, and you have state on-scene coordinator who coordinates with the federal on-scene coordinator, so there's a whole lot coordinating. And we have a series of state agencies that also participate, DNR being one of those agencies, wildlife, fisheries, GOSEP, state police, LOSCO, so on and so forth. The governor has declared a state of an emergency. The governor is hosting unified command group meetings on a daily basis, has been doing so for quite some time. He has been personally involved in the response to this oil spill. One of the things that has been and continues to be a concern to DNR is as this oil is released and this oil has been drifting towards Louisiana's coast, Louisiana's coast, of course, is a working coast. A lot of the oil and gas development and production and the income derived by the state of Louisiana comes from this production and exploration off of our coast, for which some of this oil may impact. These facilities have compressors and other potential ignition sources. We out of abundance of caution, are quantifying how many of these facilities may be in these projected areas that could be impacted. As of yesterday, there were more than 1,500 production facilities that could have been impacted. 1,244 of those are on state-owned water bottoms or provide royalty to the state, in addition to severance taxes. And when we did a calculation, that number was over $957,000 per day under worst-case scenario if all of those wells and activities were shut in. The bad news is, as this each day as this oil spill expands, that zone of potential impact has been growing almost exponentially. So we expect today what was impacting over 1,500 production facilities will impact substantially more, and that $957,000 per day that I mentioned to you could be potentially will likely be higher, would be a higher estimate. The good news is no facilities have really been shut down as a result of this. We have report of one well or two wells that are shut in, one a production well, one a saltwater disposal well that's related to that production well. When you peel back the onion on that one, it appears more that they needed to rework. They needed to get a reworking, rework this well, and they have just simply been unable to get out there, and they may not be able to. The Coast Guard may not let them out there with that operation at this time with this response going on. That's what it appears. In response, the Commissioner of Conservation has issued a conservation order declaring an emergency, requiring all these operators to keep abreast of the location of oil, and when they determine, NOAA posts the projections on where the oil is likely going to be impacting. When they see that oil may be where they're in the potential zone of impact, the commissioners put them on alert, ordered them to be on alert to monitor for that oil and take all necessary actions to protect public safety. And also put them on notice that the federal on scene coordinator could at a point in time, if circumstances warrant, issue orders or directives evacuating or shutting down or shutting in those facilities. And the commissioner also advises these folks to be prepared to immediately shut down and shut in those facilities if instructed or ordered to do so by the federal on-scene coordinator. So that's pretty much the briefing that I had for you all. Bob, did you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. Yes, sir. The Coast Guard is the federal on-scene coordinator. They are the lead response agency. They ultimately call the shots. Any other questions? Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Lou. Any public comments? Any announcements?
Yes, we do. first thing I would like to announce is, Mr. Bob Harper is now the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. Mr. Scott Angel has been appointed Lieutenant Governor pending the election this fall by Governor Jindal. So I wanted to make folks aware of that. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, I'm not quite. When Scott becomes Lieutenant Governor, hopefully Friday I'll become Secretary, but I'm still Undersecretary as of today. But I think as far as the Mineral Board is concerned and the Department of Natural Resources, you're going to find very little change under my administration. I'm trying to use a maritime analogy. I intend to keep the ship going in the same direction and take on as little water as possible for the next 7 months. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Bob.
Congratulations, Bob.
In addition, I want to announce total cash payments for May 12, 2010, $1,820,157.40, which year-to-date cash payments are $55,343,000. $696.77. Also would like to announce the annual Sunrise to Sunset Oil and Gas Conference. We will be sending out a save the date to you all, to announcing that to the public. This year's conference is going to be held at the Roosevelt Hotel. The dates that we're looking to hold the conference will be August 23 and 24. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Is there any further announcements? If not, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment. Mr. Morton, motion. Second by Mr. Smith. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you, and we'll see you next month.